It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What is going on, everybody? It is Thursday, November 14th, and that means it's a Thursday. We're at the Treasure Chest Casino. Me and Mike D'Attelier, the Game Bar and Grill. Stop by, come out, hang out, have some grub here while you're gambling. And as we get ready for Thursday night football tonight, the Philadelphia Eagles and Washington Commanders take the stage to open Week 11. And boy, do we have a ton of talk about to this evening from NFL football with the Saints. Also going to get some Browns coverage in the 6 o'clock hour. Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns for Cleveland.com. The 5 o'clock hour, get a little boxing in. Mike Coppinger, ESPN Boxing Insider, help us preview Tyson versus Jake Paul on Friday. And then in this hour, after our first break, we'll be talking to Mike Triplett covering the Saints for NewOrleansFootball.com and also Maddie Hudak after that in the at 4:40. A little Tulane preview. She's a sideline reporter for the Green Wave and also host of Before the Whistle podcast. Big game for the Greenies. Tulane taking on the Midshipmen at Navy.
Yeah, Navy's a good football team. And, man, their quarterback, Blake Harvath, man, he's a really good football player. Now, he's been banged up the last couple of weeks, but Harvath can play. And he is really a talented guy. And they a little bit unconventional from other Navy teams because they throw the football a little bit more than we've seen in the past. So Tulane get ready again in talking to Coach Sumrall. He pointed out, because I asked him about that third down. He was like, Mike, that's absolutely true. But the key is the first down. To stop them there, to force them into long distance situations on third down that they might have to throw it, and so that's not their forte,
right?
It'll be, because man, you don't play a team like that often.
Yeah,
you don't see it, and so it's to get your team adjusted to that option and how they run it. It's unique. And they wanted the 3 or 4 teams that run it in college football.
I hate to use the baseball analogy for football, but I feel like that hiring for Tulane to replace Willie Fritz with John Sumrall, man, what a home run right there. He is the guy, and I love him.
So you know what that means. They got other people that's going to be after
loving
coach.
Him too, right.
You couldn't have picked a better guy to take over for Coach Fritz. And Coach Sumrall is – you can tell, defensive-oriented guy.
But yeah.
How he's handled that offense with a redshirt freshman quarterback.
Unbelievable.
Is really impressive. And, if I'm Darian, I can just turn around and hand that ball to Makai Hughes. Oh, you got it. You take over, so to speak.
Mike, looking at the injury report today, came out for the second time. Yesterday's initial report, not much has changed for the black and gold, except for
Kool-Aid.
Saints corner Kool-Aid McKinstry, and also you had safety Jordan Hawkins. They've been upgraded to full, so positive news there. Still not practicing. Guard Lucas Patrick, linebacker Pete Werner, and also running back Jamal Williams. Pete Werner dealing with a hand issue, really a big question mark for Sunday against the Browns.
I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah, unfortunate
isn't,
there.
Isn't that similar to what they dealt with Willie Gay?
Right.
Just a few weeks back. And that part is tough because that combination of him and DeMario really, they work together so smoothly. And one thing, Pete Werner is one hell of a football player. He's a good player in this league. And so, you know, he's one of the few under 27s. You know, he could start for more than 10 or 12 teams in this league. He's that good of a player.
Another guy, pretty good, Mike, you talk about a lot, Eric McCoy, limited for a second straight day. But Coach Rizzi did mention that both him and Kool-Aid were on the positive track. You know, things are going well for them. And it looks like we should have, or the Saints, I should say, should have Eric McCoy back at center for Sunday.
He can start for every team in the NFL. I don't care if it's center, guard. No, Eric McCoy, he is your one stud player. And to get him back, this offense has never run the same since Eric McCoy went down. It was early in the Eagles game, and it's been in the skid ever since. So getting him back is huge. And also, too, and we'll talk to Tripp about it, the development of Trevor Penning over the last couple of weeks. He's played well. And
an underrated positive we don't talk
and
much
so
about.
So you got to give him his props, because we was on him when he stunk.
For sure, right.
So you got to give him his props here. And so and that was never a question about his run blocking. It was all about pass protection. And in watching him on film, you can tell a difference. He's delivering the blows instead of taking them. And I got to give John Benton, Rick Dennison, Jari Evans a lot of credit there in coaching him up. You know you had some talent there. Also, too, is to give him some confidence, which he completely lost last year.
For sure.
Doug Marrone didn't do a good job with him.
No,
bottom line.
Thankfully, that confidence looks like it's back, and hopefully we continue to see positive play out of him going forward. And you haven't mentioned his name much, or Taliese Fuaga, and obviously with offensive linemen, that's always a good thing if you're not talking about him.
That's an A-Bear line.
Right, exactly. I've learned well from my elders.
Yeah, that's an A-Bear line.
We are taking a break. When we get back, we'll get into more Saints talk with Mike Triplett of New Orleans.football. When we get back right after this at the Treasure Chest Casino here on WWL Sports Talk. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are inside the game, Bar and Grill at the Treasure Chest Casino, getting our tickets ready for Thursday Night Football and obviously Sunday when the Saints are hosting the Cleveland Browns. Happy to welcome in Mike Triplett, who covers the Saints for NewOrleans.football. Mike, how you been doing, man? Been too long.
Yeah, how are you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your time. I know you said you had a basketball practice today. Hope the Pelicans are calling you up, huh?
No, but not me, but maybe my daughter any day now. She's 9, but she stays relatively healthy.
Well, Mike, you better stay away from that court. Everybody get that court, man. You get hurt. That's the way I look at it. Mike, when you look at this football team, and maybe the good sign down the stretch is that the majority of your offensive line is getting healthy. With Eric McCoy back, and his team has not run the same. And it goes to show the importance of the center position. I've been trying to tell Steve that for years. He finally understands now. He's a college boy. Don't know nothing about the real world. But getting Eric back, and your thoughts on what he brings to the table, because he's the one stud player. He could start for any team in the NFL right now, either at center or at guard.
That's a really good point. I mean, if we're looking at guys who, if healthy, could make the Pro Bowl, could make an All-Pro team, he's on the short list for this team. He might be number one, to be honest with you. Rashid Shaheed is a returner. A few other guys, DeMario Davis, obviously, but has been doing that for years. But there's no doubt about it, and I just think he's been more appreciated than ever before while being gone. And, yeah, you're right. It's not just him. It's that the entire offensive line is going to be intact. And in turn, then, we can see this offense as it was supposed to look. That was the story of the entire offseason, the story of the entire year. What's this offense going to look like? What can they do? It's done wonders for Alvin Kamara, even with some injuries around there across the offensive line. But, I mean, it's just so unfortunate that, all right, they get Eric McCoy back. And he was kind of secretly one of the top five players on this team, maybe more than we appreciate it. But they're not going to get Chris Olave back. They're not going to get Rashid Shaheed back. They're never going to have Marshawn Lattimore back. So we're never going to see this team completely intact this year.
You look at it, I want to watch the matchup, because we sort of bragged about him a little bit. And I think he has certainly made progress with Trevor Penning at the right tackle position. Man, you got to give John Benton and Rick Dennison, Jari Evans a lot of credit for helping him as a player. He lost complete confidence last year. But when I watch him on film, he's much better balanced. You know, he's striking the opponent instead of taking it and sort of getting pushed back. We never had a question about his run blocking skills. It was always about pass protection. But look who he goes up against this week. Miles Garrett. And so, man, you're talking about, okay, I've gotten a couple of really good grades here. Now, all of a sudden, man, you're going to slip this surprise test on me. It's Miles Garrett, because he's one of the elite players in the NFL.
No, look, Trevor Penning has, you know, if we had said before the season starts the Saints are 3-7, I think we all would have thought, oh, no, you know, Trevor Penning didn't work out, and it's been anything but the case. Now, he's still a work in progress. I mean, I agree from what we saw reviewing the game. I thought this was probably his best game ever, this last game. But just 2 weeks ago, I thought he showed some warts. Denver game certainly showed some warts. So he's still a work in progress. But it's just good to be having this conversation about progress, because it was so stunted before for a number of reasons. His confidence, getting pulled from the lineup, injuries. Now he's playing every snap. He's getting better along the way. He's kind of doing it in the shadows a little bit. Other things have gotten more attention than him, so he can just learn. And, I mean, there's still room to upgrade there. I don't know if he'll ever live up to first-round potential, but it just doesn't feel like it's derailing this team, and it feels like he can be a part of this team now for going into the future. And that's just that's huge. Like I always said, maybe a realistic comp could be like, you know, Cesar Ruiz or Andres Pete, who got off to slow starts in their career. I don't know if he'll even reach that level, but it'd be great if he could.
Mike, we can break down all these positions. You know what it comes down to, Sunday? Derek Carr versus Jameis Winston. Which one gonna make the biggest mistake? Because it's not about the big play. I think it's more the big mistake. And, okay, I think Cleveland fans, I think they waited a little bit too long to pull Deshaun Watson. You could tell. Yeah. Like, I don't remember in my lifetime in covering the NFL a guy that was that good to hit the skids that fast. And, okay, that,
wild.
It's an unbelievable spot for him. But you could tell he almost like he's got nothing left in the football tank. And I think they should have pulled him weeks before, but I get it. When you're paying him that kind of money, you got to give it, and sometimes the owner gets involved too there. And you saw the good and the bad, Jameis. And sometimes you see it all in the same series, because he'll throw a pass, you say, wow, man, look at that throw. Tight window, right on target, and then the next one he sails it and it's intercepted. And Derek Carr, you could say the same thing about him.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually made the comment a few times that Derek Carr has more Jameis in him than I think people realize. He loves to hunt for that deep ball. Like, he just licks his chops, and he really wants to find it, and he knows what a game-changer it is. Carr obviously doesn't turn it over as much as Jameis, though. It doesn't exactly match with everything we know about Carr. I'm kind of surprised that he's kind of a single-digit interception guy every year, because he does love to go big play hunting sometimes. But, with Jameis, I mean, no one is going to give you more opportunities as a defense. And even when he won AFC Player of the Week 2 years ago, he was giving opportunities to the Ravens at interceptions, and they were dropping them. So that is one thing that's never going to change about Jameis. He is going to give the Saints a few chances, but he's also going to be going up against a secondary that doesn't have Marshawn Lattimore. It looks like Kool-Aid McKinstry will be back. That's good, but no Paulson Adebo, obviously, for the rest of the year. So it's not going to be strength on strength, and he's going to have opportunities to hit plays on them too. They've held up surprisingly well without Adebo, without McKinstry for a while, now without Lattimore. But he's going to air it out there and try to find some holes in that secondary, no question about it.
Trip, when I look at this team, they've had difficulties matching up against really athletic tight ends, and you got one this weekend with David Njoku.
Sure,
man, and he's a big target guy. He's not a small guy. He's a big man that'll go over that middle and make that tough catch. And so I think, you know, past history tells you that this team has struggled matching up against a very talented athletic tight end. So if you're a fantasy football owner, make sure you don't dump him this week.
Well, except for the weird thing is they've always kept Kyle Pitts in check of the Falcons. He made that incredible catch last week, but he hasn't burned them very much over the years, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, and I think that's going to be Cleveland's go-to guy, too, after they traded Amari Cooper. They've got some talented receivers. Cedric Tillman's been coming on lately for them, but Njoku might be their go-to guy among all their pass catchers there. So that is definitely a matchup to look out for. And if Pete Werner isn't able to play, which is looking a little dicey right now, that makes that matchup all the more scary.
Looking at this Browns run game, Mike, that's what scares me the most going into the matchup, just because the Saints have been so awful. I've seen those running lanes look like clear alleyways for folks. And obviously Nick Chubb's not the same guy anymore, and I know he's getting just back in the flow with Cleveland, but him and the pairing of Jerome Ford is kind of scary for me going into this matchup in the Dome.
But the 2022 Nick Chubb would have really scared me.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But he's going to be coming off the bye week now. So, you know, he got to shake off a little rust, and then he got some recovery time. I think that'll be a real challenge, no doubt about it. I mean, this is a game I think the Saints can win, but there are a few points. I mean, starting with Myles Garrett that you mentioned earlier. But, yeah, absolutely stopping the run. I mean, I think you'd have to sit down for a long time to really order the things that have derailed the Saints season most this year. But the disappearance of their run defense is high on the list. And that's something that, no Pete Werner could hurt that. I was going to say they haven't had a ton of injuries in the front seven this year. And that hasn't been the number one reason why. So, the defensive lineman, DeMario Davis and Willie Gay, if Pete Werner can't play, they're really going to have to step up, because they should be playing better in that area than they have been this year.
Mike, one thing for sure, in this offseason, they have to address defensive tackle. I don't care if you use a first-round pick on Brian Brisset. You got to get a run stuffer at defensive tackle, because you are getting gashed right up the middle. That has to be, on defense, number one priority for them.
Oh, man. Wait in line, though? I mean, could we not say that about 11 positions? I mean, it's really unfortunate right now, but I don't think there's a position on the roster that you can't put a high priority on. I still think left tackle. I still think defensive end. Safety, maybe another corner since Marshawn's not coming back. Receiver, because of the questions now with Olave and Shaheed. Quarterback, of course. Running back. I mean, unfortunately, more than in a long time around here, they kind of need one more guy at every position. But you are right, defensive tackle's high on that list.
Mike, always appreciate your time. Thanks for making it for us today. Have a good one, man.
Thank you, Tripp.
Thank you, guys.
Mike Tripoli covers the Saints for NewOrleans.football. Check out all his great work there. We're going to take a break. When we get back, talking a little Tulane Green Wave, the sideline reporter Maddie Hudak will join us right after this. We're at the Treasure Chest Casino on Sports Talk till 7 o'clock. That's when Thursday Night Football will take over right here on WWL.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're back here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino. Steve Geller along with Mike Dettillier. Now happy to welcome in Tulane sideline reporter Maddie Hudak. A big one coming up on Saturday at Navy. The Green Wave taking on the Midshipmen. How you doing, Maddie?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Looking at this matchup, before we get into all the nuts and bolts of it, want to say that Tulane's got a pretty good long snapper over there. Congrats on your brother.
Wait a minute now. Come on, Matty. That's you're crossing the line with all that. But, no, he does a great job, Matty. And you don't hear about him
right.
unless he screws it up.
Well, I mean, that's essentially the point. I really, anytime anyone talks about long snappers, if you haven't watched Bill Belichick's 10-minute answer on their importance, but you just look at games in which there's been an absence of one, and, yeah, it can definitely make the difference.
Matty, when you look at this game, I think, you know, the contrasting styles, because you rarely see a team that'll run this type of offense. There's maybe two or three. Maybe one more in college football today, but Navy's been known for it. Now, they throw the football a little bit better, only because I think Blake Horvath is a really good football player at the quarterback position. And talking to Coach Summerall during the week, Matty, he brought up the fact when I talked about getting off the field on third down, he's like, Mike, I agree with you, but really the critical down is first. To make sure that they don't have a second and five, because that sets up the third and one. And you know what they're going to do. And they sort of try to beat you up, physically kind of wind you down a little bit. It's an interesting game because you don't have a lot of sample size all season. You don't have a lot of days to prepare for a Navy team.
Yeah, you're right. And again, it's not just your average option team. It's one with a very operable quarterback. And like you said, they really try to get you on first down. That's where a lot of their explosive passes come from. You don't really expect a service academy to have, you know, that five plays in a game that are, you know, 158 passing yards. But that's kind of what you're facing against this team. And so really just having that mental discipline of this is going to be a team that the motion they're going to try to confuse and get guys out of place and out of assignment. And I think it was really important for Tulane last week against Temple. The quality of opponent, an entirely different story, but it's a very team effort on defense. We're 22 players at 35 total tackles. This is a week where you can't be the hero or the playmaker, because if you're really one moment out of your assignment, that's where those explosive plays come from for them, where they can wear you down, but they can also just kind of get down the field very quickly as well. And so making sure that the guy's mental focus is really there for this entire game. I know they've been preparing for this Navy matchup for quite a while, and also a secret weapon to me for them. It's not the same thing, but their scout quarterback, Dagan Bruno, he ran a split veer option offense at John Curtis High School. And talking with our safeties coach, he has to learn some new things, but he's been able to focus on the nuances and really test the defense in the scout team periods. To me, that really can be the difference maker this week.
Matty, one of the things you and I think we talked about it, I think it was a couple Fridays ago, we talked about the Navy offense and how well they could run the football, but Tulane's offense running the football and offensive line play, which has really been good this year, and you're dealing with the fact, too, you have a redshirt freshman who has never stepped on the field before, and so there's a little bit of clicking in the head at times when he makes that second and third read, but what Caius has done, unbelievable. But this offensive line, I think, is the unsung hero of this 2024 Green Wave football team.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought it to that way, because that was kind of where I was going to go with my answer as well. Is Mekhi Hughes, you know, he's gotten a lot of deserved accolades, but we're not having any of this conversation if the O-line hasn't been playing the way that they have. And that applies not just to the running game, but again, you have a redshirt freshman back there that, you know, he doesn't have the yips. He's not seeing ghosts. He's not reverting and turning into a pumpkin, because the O-line has been able to give him a pocket to get a chance to grow and develop. And, you know, just being on the sideline, nothing it is more impressive to me than just watching those guys on the line just throw everything they have into every single play, no matter the elements, and then have to really peel themselves off the floor. When you look at Josh Remetich on, you know, 4 days of rest, how he was able to just pancake multiple guys against Charlotte and completely dominated their opponent last weekend. I think just knowing that they have such a strong play on both sides in the trenches, I mean, Mike, we talk about that all the time, how much the trench really matters, but you've seen it on the offense, you've seen it on Tulane's defense, and it's the difference maker to me this year.
I think one of the things in this game, Tulane has to jump on them quickly and try to get them out of that element of just trying to pound away at you. And I think getting off to a quick start is a big key for the Green Wave against Navy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think they really want to stick on their schedule, kind of like Tulane wants to stick on their own schedule. I think it's interesting. I think the offensive philosophies are kind of the same here, but the way they go about it. But you look at their Notre Dame game where they had to come from behind, and their team just kind of got rattled and fell apart, committing really poor turnovers. And it wasn't just by the quarterback. It was on special teams and everything like that. So I think you're right that this is kind of a race almost to rattle the opponent first and get them out of position, get them in a place where they're behind. And I think it's going to be interesting to see which explosive passing game really is able to get going first, because I think both teams are going to wear each other down with the run. To me, it might just be the difference on who can execute on those long passes. And it's hard to ignore that Blake Horvath did have some sort of thumb injury against Charlotte. The passing offense is still there, but it's not exactly the same. And I think any little edge that Tulane can get, especially with the way they've been able to get to the quarterback, because even if he can't run or throw, he runs, 60, 90-yard touchdowns down. So containing this quarterback and everything he can do, that really is the end-all be-all.
Maddie, when you look at it, all the turnovers that they've turned into touchdowns, because you don't get that every year. You've been doing this for a little while. You don't get a turnover and then they run it back or a scoop and score. That's been a part of this team defensively that they've really excelled at, getting some turnovers, but not only getting it if it's a pick six, running it in. And also on special teams, too, when we talked about your brother and the complex deal of the snapper and then the hold and the kick. But it's also the return game has been great for them. So the turnover margin and being able to run it in and also extra points on the return game, that's been a big plus for this team.
Oh, without question. I just think, all three phases of the game, you look back to week one where John Summerall called the kickoff coverage abysmal on postgame, and really how much they've been a difference maker. They forced turnovers, like you said. Will Carroll, I don't think gets enough credit because he often punts so seldomly in games, but you look back to that game against Rice, the field position he's been able to give the defense to be able to do their job. Just the way that every phase of this team has really complemented one another, where the offense has really, they're third in the nation in time of possession. They were second last week, but that gives your defense pretty much every chance they need to make it count when it matters. When you know you have to be out there for a little more than over a quarter, which has been the case in two matchups for Tulane, that really motivates a defense. And particularly when you're able to pin them with the punting and the kickoff coverage they've had, the fact that they have a true freshman that kicked in a game setting and has been doing kickoffs all year long, but then they had Patrick Durkin, who's been hurt all year, go out and kick this last weekend, it just goes to show how important they've really dedicated every phase of this game to. But the defense is able to score points off turnovers. The offense has also taken the turnovers that they haven't run back. They've been able to do some pretty special things there as well. The red zone issues that Tulane had last year have just been completely flipped on their head.
I got to admit, Maddie, I was worried about the state of the program when Willie Fritz ended up leaving. But man, oh man, what a hire with John Summerall coming in. Just wondering what you've seen out of him so far, maybe some of the similarities and difference from Coach Fritz. But one thing's for sure, right out the gate, Summerall had this team ready to go, which was awesome.
Yeah, it's so hard for me to compare them because of the situations I think both coaches were kind of walking into, what stage they were in, where this team was ready to go full gas, no brakes. And I think John Summerall was just the perfect guy to come in. And, we heard about his energy, but his energy, to me, is second only to his motivational ability. That was something I talked with Darian Mensa really about yesterday. You hear, all these mantras that they have every single week. And I kind of think about the 1-0 last year and just the difference that it makes of kind of giving each opponent its own mantra, its own value. And I think that's really where you've seen Tulane not have any issues with respect to trap games or anything like that. It's just his motivation tactic. And Darian said it, when he talks, people listen. And it's really true. He's just so commanding and has such a finger on the pulse of really the psychology of a team. And I think that's super important, especially when you look back to, like you said, this time in December where it kind of felt like the sky was falling almost with Tulane, to have a coach come in and be able to really patch all of those holes up that, they were wounds at this time when they went to Annapolis, ironically, the last time for the Military Bowl. It also stuck out to me that John Summerall and his staff made that trip and really made their presence be known for these guys. And I think that really made a difference. And I think that sideline catch in Charlotte just said it all about how much this team really, it's not just, they're behind and fit and respect. They love their head coach.
Maddie, one of the things before we let you go is I think for Tulane, attack Navy's corners. Try to get the ball deep downfield because, okay, the Navy corners, they're not used to seeing this type speed. of what Tulane has on the edges. And hopefully, you know, with Mr. Preston back in the lineup, and he made the big play last week for a touchdown. I was glad to see he could come back in. What Mario Williams has done all across the board, the receiving core, I got to test those Navy corners early. And even if I don't hit it, I'm going to back those corners and safeties up that you don't jam the line of scrimmage trying to stop Mekhi Hughes.
Yeah, exactly, and especially thinking about the you know, they run a lot of zero blitz, and so when you have your shots, you have to take them. And I think that, like you said, it's devastating speed between Mario Williams, Yolkeith Brown, and Dante Fleming too. Just what they're able to do with, you know, jet motion sweeps and things like that, where you're really able to pull them off because the speed just stretches the field so much, and it's the vertical and lateral stretching with these receivers that I've really enjoyed watching. But yeah, your point, Shaz Preston, the reason that everyone was so excited about him in spring, he came in and just kind of looked like a hybrid tight end wide receiver almost, just not the usual size that you're used to, and Tulane does kind of have, you know, a smaller, faster receiving corps this year, so he brings a really big size mismatch, I think. But also establishing Alex Bauman again as a red zone threat in that last game is really important to me. But like you said, I agree. That's probably the most vulnerable area to test out. And the thing about Darian Mensah is he showed that he's not scared of the moment, that he's willing to take those shots, even if they, you know, sometimes they end up turning the ball over. He's done a really great job with protecting the football, and I think balancing that with being a playmaker.
Tulane Sider, Island Reporter, also host of Before the Whistle podcast. Appreciate you dropping some football knowledge on us, Maddie. Have a good one.
Thank you, Maddie. You appreciate do a great job.
Thank you, guys. I always love coming on. Thank you, and roll wave.
All righty.
Roll wave. Yes, indeed. It's a big matchup. Check it out. 11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday. I kind of like those, Mike. You got to wake up, have a little breakfast, and catch some ball.
Man, I'm going to be up way earlier than that. I got a 10
o'clock. Well, that's why I said you have some. Oh, you got to write.
Yeah, I got a 10 o'clock early. We 10 to 12:30 Saturday in the preview because LSU plays Florida.
Right, it's a 2:30 kickoff for the Tigers, right?
Yeah, so we 10 to 12:30, and me and Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge.
You'll be busy watching that on your phone, all the updates on Tulane, or the TV screens, obviously, at Acme.
Oh, I get there early. They got all the TV screens.
Yeah, there you go, right. We are taking a break here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Closing out a first hour of Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Coming up next hour, going to get into a little boxing talk as we've got the big matchup on Netflix coming up on Friday between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Definitely interested to see that. Plus, we got Pick 6 coming out after that. In the 6 o'clock hour, we'll get into some Cleveland Browns information with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, finding out how the Jameis Winston era is going on for the Brownies. We'll be back right after the break at the top of the hour news, so stay tuned at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill right here on WWL. Who dat?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes, indeed. Welcome on into our Thursday special edition of Sports Talk. Every Thursday at the Treasure Chest Casino. It is November the 14th. We're heading into week 11 of the NFL season. Starting tonight, Thursday night football, Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Commanders, a nice NFC East battle. The two lead dogs in that division should be a good one. Looking forward to seeing that one. And also, going to get into this hour some talk about the upcoming bout. Friday night, Tyson versus Jake Paul. That's a 7 o'clock start on Netflix, but shoot, with all the other cards going on beforehand, that Tyson Paul match will probably be around, what, 11 p.m.?
I bet it don't last long.
Yeah, it's an interesting matchup, and you got to wonder, is it more for show or is this really legit? The age difference, obviously, between the two is a huge discrepancy.
Think about Mike. He hasn't fought since 2005.
Wild, right.
And then now you going up against a YouTuber, you know, and he's been in mixed martial arts. He's been a boxer. I think he's 10-1 in the boxing matches he's had. So
yeah, yeah. I always thought
it's Jake interesting.
I always thought Jake Paul was a joke, but it seems he's a legit boxer.
Yeah, depending on who he's up against.
Right. So it'll be interesting.
That legit part. But, man, now I've seen Mike train a little bit. I don't know how long Mike can go in a match. But
all
man,
he needs is that one shot.
If he catch you with that one shot, it's over with.
Lights out.
But think about, man, he hasn't fought since 2005. And what? And in the 80s, he in early 90s, he was something. He was remarkable,
right,
in that time frame. And then like a lot of boxers, he got comfortable in life.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it started to peel away.
We kind of talked about it, too, because I was trying to track down a guest to talk about this. We're going to be having ESPN boxing insider Mike Coppinger on. But most things nowadays, Mike, it's all the MMA, or we even had the bare-knuckle fighting guest on a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Boxing as a sport as a whole just really is not in the mainstream anymore.
No, not like when I was growing up. I mean, that was big. You had that Friday night boxing you could watch. Ali had a lot of his fights.
And I've heard the stories of the great bouts in the Superdome even.
Yeah, and so, yeah, we went through that period. I don't know in my lifetime that'll return. It may return in somebody else's lifetime, but the MMA stuff has really taken over.
Right.
Completely. And every once in a while, you get a nice boxing match, but it's few and far between today.
Yeah, that heavyweight champion is not as revered as it once was. I remember it was such
that
a big deal.
That was the thing. Heavyweight champs. And
making
man,
their appearances everywhere, too, talk show circuit, all that. And, yeah, it's just not there now.
No. You couldn't tell you who's the heavyweight champion of the world.
Right. It's sad.
Okay, most people, they ain't got no clue of what it is. So, yeah, man, I remember, you know, if it was Johnny Carson or Dick Cavett show, and you know, whatever, the late night stuff, you would see those guys on there, but not anymore, Steve. Times changed. It's all the MMA guys, and they famous too.
Getting into the WWL boxing ring on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we got Jimmy on the line. What you got for us today, Jimmy?
Hey, y'all. Hey, look, real quick, you know, it's going to be a great weekend. I hope LSU football bounces back. I'm looking at the secondary market here, guys. You know, tomorrow night the Pelicans play Jokic. Tickets are like $4. Of course, LeBron James is coming Saturday. Tickets are like $40. And I'm looking at the Jabu Winston, the Jabu Bowl, as they're calling it. You're looking at Saints tickets right now for $15. Now, they're a lot cheaper than last week. Seemed like all the Falcons fans that drove in from Atlanta bought tickets and kind of spiked the price. But yeah, you can get a ticket to the Saints-Browns game for $15 right now. And look, I know I'm bringing up the Pelicans. They got a couple big marquee players coming into town. Hey, we're totally depleted. Answer me this, guys. Okay, so Summer League. Carlo Makovich was like the best player in the Summer League in Vegas, and he's gotten the deep six during this, you know, total decimation of the roster. I thought even with the Zion injury, I'm like, okay, finally we're going to see Carlo Makovich maybe play because he's kind of a front court guy. Even Jameis and some other guys that were in the training camps and the summer leagues, explain to me why Willie Green or the administration or David Griffin is getting guys off the street. Now, I do think the Boston kids worked out, but it's small ball. Everyone's 6'4" under besides Brandon Ingram out there. And, of course, yes, the injuries are hard to you know, get over. But explain to me, guys, why we haven't seen Carlo Makovich and a few of the other guys that were deep on the bench that just have been bypassed by guys that got off the street 10 days ago, you know?
I think it's Willie's style. This is what he wants to run. I think before the season you could see, Jimmy, that's what he wanted. He wanted to play small ball, hit the three-point shot. But then once your team got depleted, you can't change anything right now. That's what you want to run. And I think no matter what, you're going to still be deep on the bench. because I think he wants shooters. He wants to play this small ball brand of basketball, which you see not only with the Pelicans but other places, but they always had a big man that could kind of take care of the middle. And, you know, and I just think about, you know, Mise, of his development
early
a lot
on, right?
Quicker than anybody would have imagined. And I remember we had Jen Hale on maybe 2 weeks before the season, and she had talked to the coaches, and they had said, that guy is much farther along than most people think. And we're seeing it in front of our very eyes. But, man, when you get torn down like that, it's difficult.
I understand what Jimmy's saying. Obviously, with all of this, you know, hits to the roster, you think maybe Maković gets a chance, but I guess they feel maybe to his development, he's still better suited for G League.
Yes, I agree.
You know,
I agree.
So that's there. But yeah, Jimmy mentioned too. Obviously, a big game coming up tomorrow. The Pelicans put out they're going to be in their new city uniforms tomorrow evening, and it's a NBA Cup game. So the court's going to be all decorated, and obviously, a lot of excitement will be surrounding that matchup. But it's, I guess the fans, it's hard to get excited when your team is so depleted where your only starter left right now is Brandon Ingram and a bunch of backups and then backups.
The crazy thing is, man, I went to a Lakers game one time, my old buddy Nicky Collins. Yeah. We went out there, and it sounded like the Lakers had a home field advantage. They got as many people there cheering for the Lakers than they had cheering for the Pelicans.
Must be that purple and gold that everybody likes.
Long time Laker fans. You can tell. You know, you can tell. That was sort of weird to me. This is the first time I had seen that. But, yeah, it is. No matter where they play, though, there are Laker fans. There are Celtics fans. No matter where they play.
For sure.
They got those fans that, you know, maybe dad and grandpa were big fans, and then they grew into being that fan.
Right.
Just like you, a fan of the Eagles.
Well, see, I grew up in Giants and Jets country,
yeah,
and my dad was a Cowboys fan.
What?
I know. I'm all over the pace.
You better not tell that to A-Bear about that Cowboys stuff.
Well, he just liked them because of Staubach, and he was betting on them, and Staubach won him money.
Oh, okay. Listen, I
guess he's more loyal to the gambling aspect of it.
God bless him, and I understand perfectly. I was never a Cowboy fan.
Right.
Always a fan of Roger.
Yeah.
Man, his career, unbelievable. You know, my dad got to see him at Navy, and then, you know, he had to sit out those years.
Right.
And then come back, and Captain Comeback he was. He was that.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll be talking about some boxing. The Sweet Science, when we get back, it'll be ESPN Boxing Insider. Mike Coppinger right here on WWL. Be back after this at the Treasure Chest Casino on WWL. Back here on the Sports Talk Edition Thursday at the Treasure Chest Casino. We're getting ready for a weekend of college and NFL football. But first, Friday night, a big one in the boxing ring. Everybody's going to have all eyes at AT&T Stadium in Dallas for Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. For that, we're going to welcome in ESPN Boxing Insider Mike Coppinger to the radio huddle. How you doing, Mike?
Doing great. I'm doing even better that I'm not at the fight in Arlington. So.
Looking at this matchup, I know it's been a big spectacle for at least the sport, but you have a 58-year-old Mike Tyson taking on Jake Paul. What are your take on the game, the matchup, the bout that's going to be taking place? Does Tyson really have a chance against Paul in the ring?
No, not at all. Jake Paul is trying his hardest. He should be able to knock out Mike Tyson whenever he feels like it. I mean, Jake Paul, he's far from a world-class boxer, but he's certainly competent for his level. He's impressed a lot of boxers I've spoken to. Again, for his level, he takes it seriously. This is going to be, I think, his 12th pro fight. Mike Tyson was shot to pieces 20 years ago at 38. So it's hard for me to believe at 58, with 20 years of inactivity, that he presents any sort of real threat. And there's a reason why, when you see the footage of his training, it's always, you know, in three-second bursts. It's always edited.
More about this matchup. You look at Jake Paul, a lot of folks don't know about him except for maybe being a YouTuber, but do you think he has a legitimate boxing career ahead of him?
No, I do not. If we're talking about a legitimate boxing career, no. You know, can he maybe land a title shot? Yeah, of course, it's boxing. I'm sure he can land a legitimate fight if he wants to, but I don't think anybody would give him any sort of real chance. Well, it takes a couple more years. You know, he got a pretty late start at this. But again, I think he should be proud of what he's accomplished and the level he's at so far, given his experience level.
You look at it and to see how the boxing world has changed so dramatically, growing up in the 70s and 80s, and that was a big thing. World heavyweight champ. And you were the top dog. Now most people, I would say 99% of them, couldn't tell you who's the heavyweight champ of the world. How that has changed and how it has swung so much toward MMA. And it's now just not one generation. We got two generations that have grown up with MMA boxing.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all, actually. I think, we have the heavyweight championship in Saudi Arabia next month between Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk. Tyson Fury is going to make $75 million. Usyk's making $50 million. You know, UFC fighters are making a few million if they're lucky. So boxing's still more popular than MMA. The numbers bear that out between what the fighters make, with the ratings on TV, the pay-per-view buys, and all of that. I would agree that UFC is bigger on a week-to-week basis, but the big events in boxing are still much bigger. And I would argue that a lot of people know who Tyson Fury is. You know, Tyson Fury had his own Netflix show. I think the heavyweight division is actually in really good shape now. But is boxing as popular as the 90s? Absolutely not.
Yeah, because I also, too, how it has changed how you watch it today. It used to be the pay-per-view or HBO. Now they got it on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, look, Netflix has, 282 million worldwide subscribers. They're about, this is their first live sporting event. They've done other exhibitions, but this has, we have two world title fights on the undercard tomorrow night, which Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano, they're women, and they headlined and sold out Madison Square Garden. So that's a great fight. You have a welterweight title fight. I do think boxing's in a healthy spot right now, but yeah, you're right. HBO had it was a real brand, and you knew when you were watching HBO boxing that you were getting quality programming. Now it's kind of a free-for-all, right?
Absolutely. Would you expect that this would be kind of five rounds or under in this fight? I can't see it going long.
To be honest with you, I just don't know if this is more spectacle than it is, fight. This is a 27-year-old man, like you said, against a 58-year-old man, even if that man is Mike Tyson. And there are very untraditional rules being used, right? The heavyweight fights, especially title fights, would be 12 3-minute rounds and 10 ounce gloves. If it wasn't a title fight, it'd be 10 rounds. This is 8 rounds and it's 2-minute rounds and 14 ounce gloves. And for those listening, 14 ounce gloves means they're basically pillows on your hands. All that extra padding, it softens the blow. So that helps out Tyson a bit, I think. And again, I don't know that Jake Paul is trying to hurt this guy. I think it might be more spectacle, but that's speculation on my part.
Do you think from the boxing standpoint that is more in tune, maybe away from the United States, where you talked about in Saudi Arabia, where they could pay a tremendous amount of money to get this championship fight, or in Europe? Or is it basically, you think, more centered toward the United States today in the big events?
I do think the United States and Las Vegas in particular is still the capital of boxing and the capital of the fight game. Canelo Alvarez, just made around $40 million, for his fight in September. Same amount for his fight in May in Vegas. He's doing big gates. He's done, he's doing eight-figure gates every time he's out there. So boxing's still very healthy, I think, in Las Vegas, especially for Canelo. But, yeah, if you're, a fight like Fury and Usyk might have gone to Wembley Stadium, right? In the years past. Now it's going to Saudi Arabia. So I do think boxing is definitely moving more outside the U.S., but I think the U.S. is still where they're making the most money outside of these big-time Saudi Arabia fights.
Mike, when you look at this matchup, too, for Mike Tyson, obviously money's involved, and that's probably the biggest motivator, but why is he even bothering doing this? He can only, I feel, hurt his legacy.
I think you hit it on the head, right? He's going to make a tremendous amount of money. And I think, from what I've heard, north of $20 million. So this is a guy who has well-documented money problems, right? When I say money problems, a guy that's blown a lot of his vast fortune. I believe he's made over $350 million just from ring purses. And I think, a lot of these athletes are old, and really they miss the spotlight. So he's back in the spotlight. He's back in a big event. He's making a lot of money. And I think for Tyson, I see your point, though. It is tough if you see you have vision or memory of a man, an athlete, and then you see him there. It kind of does hurt, right?
And we saw Foreman make that comeback, too. You know, after all those years that he hadn't fought, he wasn't this old when he was in the ring. But George had stepped away after, you know, the events with Ali beating him. And then he fought a couple more fights after that. And then and he had stayed out of it for a long period of time. And that was very popular, too, Mike, when George came back to the ring.
Yeah, I mean, look, George, that was an incredible comeback. You know, he knocked out Michael Moore, one of the greatest comebacks in sports history, I would say. And even he was 45, I believe, when he won that title. But he again, had never looked shot. He never looked like he was finished, even when he stepped away because he was kind of upset and, you know, depressed after he lost to Ali. Mike Tyson, I was at his final fight. That was in June of 2005 in D.C. against Kevin McBride. And Tyson lost to a journeyman. I just think there's no comparison here. Not to mention, Mike Tyson also has been using a cane in that wheelchair recently, you know, in the last couple of years because he has sciatica. So he might look ripped. He might be ripped. I just have a hard time believing he has sensed any sort of threat.
Mike, definitely appreciate you carving out some time for us. Thank you. And hopefully we get at least entertained Friday night with this bout.
Hopefully. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike Coppinger, ESPN Boxing Insider, Tyson versus Jake Paul. Definitely interested to tune in. I'll be watching. Coverage starts 7 p.m. Friday on Netflix. Who knows when they'll get to that final card, though, between Paul and Tyson. Obviously,
I bet it's late.
I would think like 11 midnight.
No, because also, too, to get the people in the Pacific time frame to watch it.
Right.
Because if, what is that, 11 Eastern? Okay, you know, it's 9 o'clock, you know, Pacific time or 10 o'clock Pacific time. So, yeah, it'll be later.
Oh, get the coffee ready. I guess I'll need it because I can't stay up late anymore.
Well, don't worry. It won't last too long.
That's what I'm hoping.
It won't last long.
We're going to take a break. What hasn't lasted too long, our picks this past week during our Pick 6 segment. Charlie will break it all down when we get back, and we'll make this week's selections, although I don't know if you want our picks. But we'll give them to you right after this. We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino here on Sports Talk. Taking a break and be right back on WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk. Steve Geller with Mike Dettillier. Also, Charlie Long. We're going to be doing our Pick 6 segment, though. Gentlemen, before we get into that, seeing on the social media that Nikola Jokic for the Denver Nuggets listed as questionable for tomorrow's game against the Pelicans for, quote, personal reasons. Maybe the Denver Nuggets feel with this banged up Birds bunch, why don't you take the night off?
Oh, Miami.
The only thing bad about that, I mean, you're spending good money.
The fans,
really,
right?
Good money as a fan, and you think you're going to see that guy, and you're not, most likely. If that's put out, okay, ahead of time, they basically telling you.
Don't bet on it, right?
That's what it is.
Talking about bet on it, Charlie, what we got with Pick 6 last week? I know it was rough for everyone all around.
Terrible.
Terrible.
This is maybe the worst week of Pick 6 we've ever had, guys. It was just awful. And we kind of joked about it, right? Like, we all picked a lot of the same picks for the 6 games we had. And I think I joked right at the end of last week's segment, just like, oh, this is going to be a tough week. I couldn't have even foreseen this. Mike, Bobby, Steve, 1-5.
Yay!
And yours truly, my second goose egg of the year. Whoa, guys, 0-6. So Georgia, LSU, that didn't work out. I picked the Ravens, and they got backdoored by the Bengals. I'm never reading a stat on this segment again after what Jamar Chase did last week.
Don't
Commanders,
do it, Charlie.
-2.5. That didn't work out because they gave up a touchdown late to the Steelers. The Falcons didn't work out. The Lions, Jared Goff throws 5 interceptions, and, you know, they win by 3, but they don't cover the 3.5. So it was just a nightmare, guys. It was a terrible, terrible week. So resetting the current standings, I'm still in the lead. I have a 31-29 record. Mike,
that's not bad for 2 offers.
I know. I mean, shout out to that. Like, that's incredible. I had 2 weeks where I go a combined 0-12, and I still have a winning record. So I'll take it, man. Mike, you're at 29-31. Bobby's at 25-35. Steve, you're at 28-32. So as you kind of mentioned leading into this segment, do not take our picks. We are not very good at this, but it is still fun to do, guys.
And bet against us.
We always try to pick the toughest games and the best games from college football and the NFL action. So, you know, just being batting around 500 is not the worst thing in the world when we're taking into account all these really good games between competitive teams. So starting out with college football, week 12, number 22, LSU opens as 4-point favorites at Florida. Bobby's got the Tigers covering the 4-point spread.
So do I.
Yeah, just the issues at quarterback for the Gators makes me concerned for them having any real shot in this matchup against LSU. I don't know. I don't think they're going to drop three in a row either, so give me the Tigers and to cover, obviously.
Man. Man, I want to do it. I really
pick,
do.
Pick your boy, Billy. Go ahead.
I love Billy.
Billy.
But, you know, if DJ was 100% healthy, DJ right. Lagway ready to go, I'd probably take Florida to cover the four. Maybe not necessarily win, but LSU would win by like a field goal or something like that. But give me LSU minus four here, guys. I think they win by at least a touchdown. Florida's got too many defensive issues for me to confidently put my bet in Florida plus four. So give me LSU. This is a clean sweep, which, as we know, is not a very good sign for the Tigers.
That means bet Florida.
Up next, we got number 25, Tulane, who is 7-point favorites at Navy on the road. Bobby's got Tulane covering that 7-point spread, guys.
So do I.
I am tempted here, but, yeah, I like the way that Summerall's got the green wave going, and I can't go against Tulane. Roll wave, they cover the spread here.
This is bad. This is really Uh-oh. Bad. Yeah, I mean, I got the green wave, too. Just
if Harvath was healthy, I might think about taking that, but he's not. And so that's why that to me was the deciding factor.
I think you can make a serious argument that Tulane's the best team in the group of five right now. I know Boise's ranked ahead of them, but just the way the Green Wave have been playing, especially since conference play started, you know, you get out of that two-game rut where they lost games, obviously, to Kansas State and Oklahoma, and then they take down my Cajuns, and they've been on a roll ever since. So give me the Green Wave minus seven. I think it sets up a pretty fun finale against Memphis next week. And Bobby and I were talking about this off air that, you know, maybe you could see Tulane versus Army a couple weeks down the road, and that will be a fun yeah. one too. Both teams great. Obviously, moving on, we have an SEC matchup, and this line is crazy, guys. I'm interested to see what you got, and then I'll tell you what Bobby has as well. Number seven, Tennessee at number 12, Georgia. Huge playoff implications here. Georgia opens as 10-point favorites at home after that terrible performance that they had in Oxford against Ole Miss this past weekend. Bobby has Tennessee covering that 10-point spread.
I'm going Georgia.
I'm going to go with the cannon here. I don't like the way what I've seen out of the dogs and 9.5, even though they are home. Give me the Vols getting those points.
Here's my thing. This feels like a trap. Mike, you feel the same way?
Yep.
It that's feels like a
I
trap.
I picked Georgia.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm picking Georgia, too, but it feels like a trap. Because I was looking at this line, I'm like, 10 points? Are we serious here? And then you just feel like Georgia is going to have a bounce-back week. I can't get that. You can obviously move on from that loss to Ole Miss, but you remember what they were able to accomplish in Austin against Texas. This is still a legit Georgia team. They're playing for their playoff hopes at this point because they have two losses already. Give me Georgia minus 10 here. I think they yeah. show up in a big way and take
the
down the
thing, too, Charlie, is Nico's injury.
Yep, that is true as well.
That's why this line is inflated. It would never be 10 if Nico was healthy.
Georgia's had issues, or specifically Tennessee's had issues in the first half of games as well. So if Georgia kind of jumps out to that early lead, which they could potentially do here, I think it's going to be hard for Tennessee to really fight back against that Georgia defense. Moving on to NFL Week 11, guys. We got Thursday Night Football. Here. Commanders at the Eagles. Philadelphia opens as 4-point favorites at home.
Eagles.
Yeah, I like the Eagles at home to cover that 4 points. I think we're in for, hopefully, an exciting matchup. I think we'll see plenty of scoring, but I think Eagles cover that four.
Bobby has the Eagles, and this is the first one I'm going to be different from you guys. Give me the Commanders plus 4 points. I think the Eagles probably win, but I think it's going to be a very close game. I think Jaden keeps it really close. I know that Fangio's defense has been playing pretty damn well, but give me the Commanders plus 4 here, guys. Up next, we're going to Sunday. We got the Browns at the Saints. The Saints 1-point favorites in this one.
It better be the Saints, Charlie. I can't see Jameis Winston coming away with a victory in the Superdome and his return. I don't want to see that, I should say. And I'm going to believe in the Riz factor until it's not. So give me the Saints, given the 1 point.
Bobby's got the Saints as well. And if I didn't mention, Bobby has the Eagles. I'll go.
Go ahead.
I don't like this matchup.
Go ahead.
I'll go Browns plus 1.
Browns.
Wow.
I don't like the matchup.
That defense scares you guys?
Miles Garrett scares me.
Miles Garrett does. Right. And that secondary does.
Yeah, Denzel Ward is
both
is
defensive
one of the,
ends are actually pretty lethal.
Right. I don't like the matchup for the Saints. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I saw a stat as well about, you know, the interim coaches that they get off to a good start and then it kind of
I saw that
from
too.
There.
I'm so, just hoping for some of those, as Mike would say, lollipop throws from Jameis.
Well, you're going to get that, but is Derek going to give you one right back?
Yeah.
You see that? They look they similar to one another. I'm telling you,
Steve. I know that you and you and Jeff are going to have the pre-game show, but
yes.
I mean that's a big mismatch. Is some of the pieces in the Browns secondary versus this receiving core right now for the Saints.
What's amazing, though, they haven't been able to – they've gotten the pressure, they've gotten the sacks, but they're not generating turnovers.
That's the crazy part.
Right.
That you're getting two of the three elements, but you're not getting the turnovers in that part. And, man, if they had a healthy Nick Chubb, then I wouldn't have had to think about it.
He scares me too, right.
But he's not the same Nick. But the way this team has not stopped the run, if I'm the Browns, man, I give them a fistful of that and the Joku.
Split decision
here,
guys.
The Saints have not been able to cover the tight end at all.
He's a scary one too, right.
Bobby and Steve have the Saints. Mike and I have the Browns in that matchup. And then finally, the best game of the weekend, the Chiefs at the Bills. Buffalo opens as two-point favorites at home over the undefeated Chiefs. Bobby's got the Bills minus two. He thinks this is finally the spot where the Chiefs trip up.
Me too. Bills.
You know what? I can't go against the undefeated team until they are defeated. Let me roll with the Chiefs in Buffalo, even though I do feel they are due. We've seen them escape games miraculously, but just think that they'll be keyed up, obviously, for this matchup. I'll go with Patrick Mahomes getting 2 points on the road.
Also, too, Kansas City's kicker goes down.
Yes.
Man, and that dude could kick. Man, he was really good, Butker. He was a terrific kicker. So they picked the practice squad guy up from the Jets and got him out there. I know one thing. He can't be as good as him. He can't be as good as Butker.
The Chiefs keep pulling these Houdini acts. Guys, yeah. It's got to stop at some point. I mean, they should have lost last week to Denver, obviously. This is finally the week it ends. I think the Bills pick up this win. 2 points is a really slight margin. It's kind of like a pick-em game at this point. Give me Buffalo minus two, maybe the win by a field goal. The Bills finally end the Chiefs' undefeated run.
Well, we got a difference on that. Well, at least I'm different from you guys on that one, so maybe I can make some headway.
No, you don't want to bet against Mahomes.
I don't.
That's the
deal. Smart play,
and I talk
too,
about
Steve.
That all the time. Man, you bet against him, you ain't making no money. But in this spot, man, they have lived on the edge all year long. On the edge. And eventually you're gonna tumble over.
It reminds me a little bit about Miami in college football, what happened this past weekend against a Georgia Tech team. Now, granted, the Bills are legit, and I think Georgia Tech was a real upset. But Miami all year had been kind of riding on the edge. They had all these double-digit second-half deficits that they would come back from. And eventually they finally tripped up. And this feels like one of those games where the Chiefs, they keep playing with fire. They keep having these really tight competitive games. At some point, one of these teams is going to beat them. And who better than one of the class of the AFC squads and the Buffalo Bills at home?
Was it hard for you to pick games this week? Because it's a lot of tight matchups. The only real blowout that looks, according to odds makers, is Detroit giving 14 to Jacksonville. Other than that, pretty tight games.
No, man, I went back and forth because I almost picked the Steelers-Ravens game as well, and we would have done four games in NFL Week 11. But instead, we went with Tulane-Navy. I think that's going to be a fun matchup.
For sure.
But, man, Steelers-Ravens. Man, you watch how bad the Ravens are in the secondary. Oh, my God. They got picked apart. They're still trying to cover Ja'Marr Chase right now. I mean, I don't know. If you pick the Ravens to get to the Super Bowl, you happy about what you see on offense.
Sure.
But, boy, are you disappointed on what you see in the back end.
And you think about that big purple and black squad being, you know, so rough and tough on defense. It hasn't been there.
No. Not on that back end. It hasn't.
That was our Pick 6 segment. We're here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino. Maybe make a few bets at the game sports book over here where we can keep a tally on some of the money in this matchup. If I was making better picks, I'd be more inclined to do so.
No, I got a partner of mine. He just told me I made him money last week because I was with the Bengals and Ja'Marr over.
Oh, nice.
And so he thanked me for that. He wanted to give me some money. But I'm good. I'm good on that. And I told him keep your money, brother.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back to close out this hour of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, I want to remind everyone, today's the final day to register for tickets to the next Saints home game. Sunday against Cleveland in the Caesars Superdome, you can score two premium tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. Open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Go to WWL.com/contest and enter for your chance to win tickets to the Saints versus the Browns from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyers of the Saints. And, of course, Saints Radio. Taking a break, we'll come back, get a little Browns perspective from Cleveland.com's Mary Kay Cabot right after this, so stay tuned on WWL.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, everyone, here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We are inside the Game Bar and Grill, hanging out till 7 o'clock, and that's when Thursday Night Football comes on. You can watch it here at the casino, make a bet on the game, enjoy some good grub. We also have it on WWL, AM, FM, and.com for you. A big match, NFC East matchup, Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Washington Commanders.
I know who you're pulling for.
No doubt at all.
I know that, but, man, they're going up against Jaden. Now, the Commanders are sort of beat up physically. They got some injuries there, but Jaden sort of tilts the field when he's out there. He's unique. We saw it last year with C.J. Stroud. He didn't play like a rookie quarterback. Jaden's not playing like a rookie quarterback. I mean, it's spectacular to watch. It's almost like you're watching him at LSU.
Yeah, you thought there'd be the growing pains there, but obviously – he's still finding his way, but doesn't look like the game is definitely too big for him. It's pretty amazing that you see both back-to-back years now. The number two pick in the draft at quarterback is having more success than number one.
Number ones are struggling.
Right.
You're talking about how Bobby called him Little Bryce.
Little Bryce.
And, man, Caleb Williams. Oh, my goodness. You can't keep the ball in your hands that long. You got to get rid of it. Because you're going to get beat up and bad in this league if you hold a football that long. That's why you got all those sacks already. Now, offensive line is lousy, but, man, he's not reading the field. You can see he's not figuring out where to go with the football. He can't find the right guy, and he's holding on to it, and he's getting hit. He's getting racked. And this league, man, they bust you up pretty good.
And obviously it seemed like he was set up for success with the wide receivers they brought in. Obviously have DJ Moore over there, and also they brought in Keenan Allen, yeah. Drafted Roma Dunze, yeah. But not really having much
Cole
success.
Cole Maquette.
Right.
A tight end. Man, it's set up.
Their defense is legit at least. But
yeah, and they rode a little bit of the roller coaster early on. I told this to Bob when that happened. When Jaden threw that touchdown pass on the final play, man, that has a way of getting into your head and you can't get it out. It's a mental thing right now with the Bears. It really is. And that one play, I think, will catapult the Commanders. I think they a legitimate playoff team. And I think you seeing the downfall here. Eberflus, he ain't going to survive. He's not going to survive this.
Yeah, you guys always talk about it all the time with the job openings, at least 6 to 7 in the NFL each year, and it seems like Eberflus is going to be one of them.
Oh, yeah. I would have my money on that one at this stage.
I've been wondering about in Cincinnati, how much longer are they going to stick with Zach Taylor?
Well, Mike Brown, he don't like to spend his money on coaches that's not coaching. So he might give him another year. He might give him another year. Again, the Brown family sort of tight with that money.
Right.
And listen, nothing against that, but, man, it isn't working for them on defense. And they're getting Joe Burrow beat up bad.
You wonder
how long he's going to be able to last in this league. But their defense is so sorry, other than Trey Hendrickson. Everybody else, they're giving up chunk yardage every game. So, I think Zach is a 50-50 right now. The guy that might save him is Joe.
Right.
Because Joe can win you some
Joe
games.
Joe and Jamar.
Joe and Jamar can win those games. And next year, you're not going to have T. Higgins. You don't have Jamar signed. And I would have cut that deal now because I think it's going to cost you more in the offseason. I don't know why they sort of tapped the brake on that. The price is not going to go down. It's going to continue to go up for that wide receiver market, and I would have done it already with Jamar.
Yeah, he's definitely, as you would say, elite in the NFL.
He is elite. He is definitely that.
Raider pride.
And, oh, yeah, he's that too. Now, to think that him and Jefferson on that same LSU team.
Still unbelievable. It's a whole dream that entire season with Coach O.
When Jamar's going to sign the next that big contract, and I got told this by Coach O because his agent told him that it would take that 2019 group that went into the NFL. They'll be the first team to ever make $1 billion.
Wow.
When you tag up everybody that has signed and what they made in the NFL is going to take them over the $1 billion mark. That's never happened before.
Obviously, with LSU, Mike, we've seen Saban win a national championship. Les Miles even got a national title.
Coach O.
We talked about Coach O. Can Brian Kelly get the job done? Right now, he doesn't seem to be bringing in enough talent, though, to the Tigers.
Okay, that's Brian's fault.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Come on. You 3 years in, this is your team.
Your team, exactly.
You can't look in the mirror and say it's somebody else's fault. It's yours. I think the early missteps in the transfer portal did him in. Because you look at that defense.
Being stubborn about it.
And other than Braden Swinson this year, he's an Oregon guy. Now, he's from Georgia, went to Oregon, and then transferred. Name me another guy on defense that they signed in transfer portal that has really done much. Steven Short.
Crickets, right.
That list is really short. When you look at this roster today, it is really short. And other than you see Jaden Daniels, I mean, he was a transfer portal guy, but they missed early on. They really did. With some of the, and he has admitted that, whenever you kind of get him one-on-one, he's admitted that that was a whiffs on his part. But, again, he's got a 7-year contract worth, $10 million a year for people saying they're going to get rid of him. You can forget that idea. He's staying here because I had somebody text me yesterday, Mike, what if he loses the last three games? He's coaching in LSU in 2025. Yeah, it's too much. I think knee-jerk reaction to those sort of deals. Oh, fire the coach right now.
Yeah.
I
just hate hearing from him, too, when he's always about, we're still trying to get that 10-win season. That means something.
He sounded like Les Miles.
I was going to say, to who?
Now, Les used to say the same thing. It almost like he stole his speech.
Well, hopefully he doesn't steal the outcomes much longer because I know LSU Nation's been struggling, especially last year, just the talent you had, obviously, with a Jaden Daniels, too, just wasted.
Yeah, and the way they've been gashed for a game and a half defensively, they have not been able to stop that option, that read option, and the quarterbacks. If I was Jalen Milroe and they're going to put me in college football's Hall of Fame and they say, what do you want us to play?
LSU
give me them two games y'all played against LSU.
Oof, right. He was unbelievable, for sure. Helps boost his draft stock if it needed any.
Yeah, and he's a good dude, too. Man, he works hard. The story is not kind of secret today. And Pete Jenkins actually told me that Nick Saban would tell him, he would sometimes beat me to the building, watching film, trying to get better. And he puts a lot of work into it. So if you're going to spend money on a player, don't you want that guy?
Right.
Now, athletically, he's off the charts. Now, he needs work with his body balance control on his throws. He's better on the deeper throw than he is on the shorter ones. So that's something he's going to have to work on at the NFL level. But athletically, he is something special.
Right.
He is something. Man, you just saw him. He did like Jaden did against Alabama. He outran the Alabama secondary. You saw Milroe. He outran the LSU secondary. That was nobody close to him.
No, you see that green pasture ahead of you, and it's not good.
Yeah, and again, he's an infectious, so to speak, personality, a very emotional guy, and a great leader on the field. And I say this, people ask me, oh, I heard Bill Belichick was at Manning camp. I said, yeah, he was. Who he spent the most time with, I can tell you, Jalen Milroe.
Really, huh?
He kind of followed him around. When he went from one section to the next, Bill followed.
We got another quarterback coming in that's questionable with what he's done in his career, and definitely brings a lot of personality to the game. And Jameis Winston with the Browns, we'll be getting more of that with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com. But obviously, his penchant for throwing interceptions is big, Mike. And obviously, I think the Saints, in order to come away with a victory, are going to need to take advantage of those turnovers this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, the book is written on players. You know what they can do well and what they can't do. And, man, Jameis, at times you say, wow, look at that throw. Look at that throw. And then he puts up one. Man, what was he doing? It was one of them deals. But, you know, it was like that at Tampa.
Yeah.
When he was with the Saints, it was like it. Why did anybody think it was going to be different in Cleveland? You're going to get the same thing. But when he's hot, man, he can rip you up a new one because he is that talented a passer.
I loved yesterday in the locker room, Tyrann Mathieu was being interviewed and says, I bet you Jameis, one of the first things he's going to say is point to me and say, I'm coming at you. And he laughed. He's like, go ahead, throw it to me.
And he might.
We're taking a break. We'll get more into the Browns right after the break with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com. Coming back here at the Treasure Chest Casino Sports Talk right after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Obviously, one of the big games we care about, the Saints hosting the Cleveland Browns. To help us break it down, Mary Kay Cabot, the Browns beat writer for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, also an analyst for WKYC-TV in Cleveland. Mary, how you been? Thanks for the time.
Oh, I've been great. How about you guys?
We're doing awesome. I'm finally happy to get back in the win column over here, and looking forward to the dome coming of Jameis Winston. What's been his attitude and feeling talking about facing his old team, the Saints, again on Sunday?
Oh, he's been great talking about the Saints and the memories that he has from there. I wrote a whole story about it just today, actually. And one of his biggest takeaways is he just talks about how he became a better quarterback in the 1 year that he spent with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. He just learned so much from Drew about how to prepare, how to watch film, how not to make the bad play. And he really just counts that as one of his most formative years in the NFL.
Mary Kay, I got to tell you something before I ask you a question. I look at two or three beat writers every week because I learn something from them, and you one of them. You do a fantastic job covering the Browns in the NFL. So I just wanted to tell you that before I asked the question. The thought with Nick Chubb here, man, all of us watched him, and he was an elite running back in this league. He made a remarkable comeback from that knee injury. But how close is he to being the same guy? And I know it's early with him, and he probably never will be the same type runner. But he was really good, really at the top level of running backs in the NFL before the injury.
Well, first let me say thank you for the compliment. That was really nice of you, and I greatly appreciate it. And second of all, as far as Nick Chubb is concerned, it's remarkable that he is even out there in the first place. To know what he has gone through, two major reconstructions of this very same knee. When I saw him go down with that last year, I really questioned whether or not he would play football again. But lo and behold, it's Nick Chubb. He's a superhero. He's sort of a freak of nature. And here he is back on the field. And you're right. He is not the Nick Chubb that left the field before the injury. But here he is only three games in, out there plugging away at it. And that is just almost hard to believe. So we'll see. Usually guys that have major reconstructions like that aren't their total selves until another year after that, and maybe even another year after that. So I think there's more to come from Nick Chubb. And, of course, anybody who knows him is pulling for him to get back to that elite level.
It was unbelievable, too, at Georgia. I got to cover him there and scout him when he was there. And him and Sony Michel in the same backfield was like, whoa, how could you lose any games? But they lost a few when he was there. David Njoku, I look at that matchup. The Saints have had a lot of difficulties, Mary Kay, matching up against athletic big tight ends. And now David's here. They facing, I would think, for Jameis Winston, he sort of knows that they've had trouble the last 2 years matching up, and that may be his go-to guy this coming Sunday.
Well, it could be. They have a nice connection, and David is quite a threat. He's big, he's tough, he's physical, he's tall. And so Jameis can throw it up to him, and he will. They'll take some explosive shots, especially against the 29th-ranked pass defense in the NFL. So I would look for Jameis to try to get it to David as much as possible.
One of the things, too, the matchups, we were talking about it early in the show, that Trevor Penning, the Saints' right tackle, he looked to be almost a complete bust last year. And then, you know, he's had injuries, everything else. And he's played better this year, and so I'll give him credit. But look who he goes up against this week. And sort of tell us about the 2024 version of Myles Garrett, who I think he's one of the elite defensive players in pro football.
Well, you know, you just can't put one guy on him. The Chargers tried to do that, and Myles got 3 sacks in 4 plays. And that was remarkable. And then they realized, oh, geez, we've got to do something about this. We have to double him or triple him or chip him or whatever we have to do, like all other teams do. I don't know why they thought they could get away with not doing that, but they found out the hard way that that's the danger zone. So he's been tremendous. And once again, he's coming off of a 3-sack game. And Derek Carr is going to have to get rid of the ball very, very quickly. That is the name of the game when you play against Myles Garrett.
Has their secondary, because, you know, we know a couple of them here because they were at LSU, Grant Delpit in particular. Is that really the strength of their defense in the secondary, you know, other than Myles being able to come off the edge?
Well, yeah, they have a very strong secondary. But one thing that's happening in their secondary right now is that they have not gotten an interception all season. Now, while the Saints are 4th in the NFL, with 12 interceptions, the Browns' defensive backs have none, not even one. They're tied for last in the NFL with only one interception this season, and that's from a linebacker, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. So even though they have made some good plays, they've gotten some breakups. Denzel Ward leads the NFL with 14 pass breakups. They just haven't been able to grab those interceptions, and I know they will be trying to do that in this game.
Does it look to you like what we see from afar? In my 30-something years covering this league, I can't remember a guy that has took that hard of a tumble. And it's not – I don't think totally, certainly injury-related. And what's happened to Deshaun Watson?
Well, a lot of it is injury-related because you look back to last season and he may have suffered a more serious shoulder injury in week 3 than they thought at the time. So he had a strained rotator cuff in week 3, and then he was never the same after that, and then he ends up being lost for the season with a fractured shoulder. So last year was a complete wash. Then he comes back this year, and the offense was just off to an absolutely horrible start for a lot of different reasons. It wasn't just Deshaun. It was so many different things. Offensive line injuries, Amari Cooper not playing like himself before he was traded, David Njoku being out 3 weeks and most of a 4th week with a high ankle sprain. And it just was a bad situation for anybody to be in. And Deshaun, he was starting to play better, and then he ruptured the Achilles. So who knows what the future holds, but, I mean, that could have been the end of him in Cleveland.
Mary Kay, curious to your opinion. What's going on with the dog pound over there? I know that fans have been suffering for a long time, but, you know, the latest now with Deshaun Watson and that contract, how are they feeling?
Well, it's been a very, very stressful year for Browns fans. This was supposed to be a season in which this football team not only made the playoffs, but went deep into the playoffs this year. They've got all these Pro Bowl players. Deshaun was going to be coming back from his injury, and hopes were very high. So it really has been a very, very disappointing season for Browns fans. But I will tell you what, I'm sure I'm going to see plenty of them wandering around on Bourbon Street on Saturday night.
So on that, too, how safe is Kevin Stefanski there in Cleveland, you know, with Jimmy Haslam as the owner there. I know I've heard a couple people say, I would keep an eye out on what happens in Cleveland, depending on how the season kind of goes by. Do you look at it that he's in any danger, possibly, of losing his job after last year getting him into the playoffs with Joe Flacco?
You know, I don't really know, to be honest with you. We asked Andrew Berry about that last week when we had a press conference here with the GM during the bye week, and he raved about Kevin Stefanski and basically said that he is definitely going to be part of the solution to this whole thing going forward. So at this point, I would say that he is safe, but then again, you never really know. So we don't know what the owner is thinking. I was standing not too far away from him at practice today. He obviously doesn't look very happy right now, but I don't know what that means in terms of his plans or his thinking.
The new stadium that is going to be built, kind of give everybody a little update on that, because certainly some controversy involved.
Yeah, we don't know exactly where that's going yet. The Haslams have the option to purchase land out here by the airport in a suburb called Brook Park, and that would obviously take the Browns out of downtown Cleveland. So that's the part that makes it controversial. Obviously, they've been an institution down there for all of these years. So there's a little bit of pushback on that part of it. The city is not making it easy on them. The city would like them to consider some land near an airport downtown. So it's still a little bit up in the air where this is going, but I think the Haslams at this point are still pretty committed to that plot of land in Brook Park.
When you look at this matchup Sunday against the Saints, Mary Kay, who's maybe a player or two that we haven't talked about, some of the bigger names that could be making an impact that we're not talking about that could be game wreckers against the Saints?
Well, I would say that Jerry Jeudy is somebody that could come up big in this game. Maybe even Cedric Tillman from a receiver standpoint. We've already talked about David Njoku. And another player I think to watch a little bit here would be Jerome Ford. I think they will probably do a little bit more of a 1-2 punch at running back, take a little heat off of Nick's legs a little bit and give him a chance to stay fresh for the fourth quarter. So Jerome Ford is coming off of a hamstring injury, but I think he'll get some more carries in this game.
Jedrick Willis, scouting him when he came out of University of Alabama, I wondered how well he could pass block. He was a really good run blocker for the Crimson Tide. He was awkward as a pass protector there. Now, he got away with it because he was bigger and stronger than most guys. His development there, it doesn't seem to be that he's one of these guys trending up.
Well, you know, he was demoted at his left tackle spot, so he is no longer playing left tackle. DeJuan Jones, the fourth-round pick last year out of Ohio State, has replaced him at left tackle for now. So he probably won't even get in the game on Sunday, and, you know, this might mean that he could be done as a Cleveland Brown.
Looking at that offensive line, too, I know back-to-back days of limited practice for guard Joel Bitonio with a pectoral issue. How is he, you feel, shaping up for Sunday, his status?
Well, Joel is one of those guys that plays hurt. He's a warrior. He doesn't come out of games, and he plays even when he probably shouldn't sometimes. So I'm guessing that he will play. He'll be Joel, and he'll fight through the pain, and he'll be out there doing the best he can.
Always appreciate the time, Mary Kay. Thank you so much, and hope to be seeing you in the Superdome on Sunday.
I'll be there.
Thank you, Mary Kay.
That was Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Cleveland Browns for the Cleveland.com and also does some TV work down there in Cleveland. Man, Mike, I was out there in that freezing game. That was my final year on the sideline. And I got to thank the Saints training staff, the equipment staff, I should say. I was covered head to toe. There was no skin. Obviously, I had even had a mask on with that freezing temperatures out there. And the worst part was actually my toes, even though I had those warmers in my shoes. But other than that, my body was all right. Just my feet were freezing.
Saints looked like they were the cool weather team, and the Browns didn't.
For sure, it made no sense that game why they got away from the run.
I didn't quite get a, understand that because, man, you were gashing them for a while.
What's an interesting connection, too, who was the defensive coordinator for the Browns then?
Joe Woods.
Right. So a lot of crosses, you know, interesting ties here with this game from Jameis Winston. You even mentioned Grant Delp, but there's a few other LSU players on there as well. So it's going to be a fun one, I think, Sunday, even though these teams have not had success in the win column.
One of the things, if you go to an LSU game and you're in the press box, there's a Cleveland Brown scout there every time.
Wow, okay.
Every time he's there.
We are taking a break here at the Treasure Chest Casino on Sports Talk. Be right back after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, we're just talking with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com about the Brown matchup. And, Mike, you mentioned a guy in Grant Delpit. Was it now year three for him in the NFL? How do you feel like he's progressing in the game?
Yeah, he got hurt early on, but he's always a center fielder. I mean, he loves to roam that area.
No aggressive dude.
Yeah, he's pretty good with the hit down. Sometimes he's looking for aggressive. The knockout shot instead of the open field tackle. But Grant's been a good football player. He really is. And he was at LSU. And I know Coach O and the staff there, Dave Aranda, they always praised him for his work ethic and his focus and his ability to make a big play. Against the run and against the pass. But he is a center fielder. That's where he likes to play and sort of roam. That's why I asked Mary Kay about Jedrick Willis. He was a guy who was an early first-round pick. And look what happened at the tackle spot. They thought he could solidify that left tackle position for the next 12 years and didn't make it. But in watching him, that's what I was telling. He was a great run blocker at Alabama, really was, and he was a wide body guy. But he was always awkward in pass protection. And, you know, he would kind of steer you. If you get around him, he'd sort of steer you. And you're not going to get away with that in the NFL because you know why? I'm going to cut you to the inside and I'm going to beat you. And that's what happened to him. And now he got beat up by a fourth-round pick and a dude that's huge from Ohio State. Man, at one time, and he admitted it, he was 380 pounds. Now, he's got some of that weight off of him, but it goes to show you, and a lot of people, oh, it's the Saints. Not all the time. It happens all across the league.
Right.
But Jedrick Willis was a guy that I think they rolled it that particular year because he was not ready for prime time as a pass protector. And I would have never kept him at left tackle. I'd have put him on the right side, but they might have put their best pass rusher over there too. But, again, it just goes to show you that, you know, Mary Kay is saying that he may have played his last game.
Right, that was definitely an eye-opener right there.
And so that goes to show you a top 10 pick, early first-round pick, left tackle.
Right, like you said, it just ain't the Saints, folks.
No, just ain't them.
You look at it with this game in that offensive line against the black and gold. I thought the pass rush, you know, picked up last week and was able to apply some pressure. Hopefully they can do the same against Jameis Winston because I don't think this O-line for the Browns is very good, unlike the defensive side.
They were at one time.
Right.
But, man, they've had a ton of injuries. Joel, if he can play, I mean, I think he's a really good player, really a really, really good.
And like Mary Kay said, he's a warrior. He's going to fight through it, even though pectoral issues rough for an old lineman.
Yeah, but, man, he's a blue-collar guy, and he fights you to the death. He's one of those type of guys. No, you in for a long day when you go head up against Joel. So, but it hasn't been the same, and their offense has changed. They were a run-oriented team. Built around Nick Chubb.
Right.
And then once Nick went down, then they had to build it around the passing game. And you had at that one point, Amari Cooper was there. You had Jerry Jeudy. And, you know, Njoku is such a big target for you at tight end. They've become now a little bit more of a passing team. They've kind of had to swing because of the fact you don't have – I mean, listen – there wasn't many guys that could play like Nick Chubb could.
Right.
And yeah, he was definitely one of the top two backs in the National Football League before he went down with that knee injury. And they're fast on defense. That's the other thing. They've given up some big plays, but they are really fast to the football. So with that, I would try to run a couple of screens, misdirection plays, because, you know, once you kind of swing one way, if you can catch that back on the other, you might have some openings.
Getting ready for Thursday night football in Philadelphia. We got the Eagles taking on the Commanders coming up at 7. Be right back with more Sports Talk from the Treasure Chest Casino as we wrap things up right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, I want to remind Tiger fans, Saturday LSU's taking on the Gators in Florida. Kickoff is at 2:30, but our coverage starts 10 o'clock with Mike Dettillier, Herb Tyler. Doors open at 11 o'clock at Acme Hoister House in Baton Rouge for the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show presented by Map Construction. Always a great time with Mike and Herb. Acme's got 16 surround sound TVs, great drink specials, plus life's more fun with seafood. Catch LSU's pregame coverage at 12:30 with Chris Blair, and then kickoff with him and Jacob Hester 2:30. Tigers and Gators Saturday on WWL and the Odyssey app. Mentioned to you during the break, Mike, seeing that on the coaches show in Florida, Billy Napier saying QB DJ Lagway will be back for the game, and so will wide receiver Elijah Badger. No, definitely no surprise on Lagway. I figured he'd be playing here.
Yeah, and Hodges is the star linebacker.
Right.
For him. He's not playing. But DJ gives him a shot, and he's really a pocket quarterback when you watch him. He's not a guy that's going
to
run all around. But, no, he can take off and run with it, but that's not his style. He likes to stay in the pocket and throw the football. Now, I would tell him, hey, look what Reed did. Look what Milrow did. If you get an opportunity, just take off, run with it.
Right. Because
they're going to give you those lanes. But, man, their defense is sorry. Oh, Lord, they can't stop the run. They play off coverage. And, man, if I was Garrett Nussmeier, that's what you want to play against me?
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to throw that little short stuff.
He needs a get-right game. It's been rough for him the last few outings.
It's rough because you can't run the ball. Alabama gave you opportunities to throw to the wide receivers downfield. But because you can't run the ball, I can bring the safeties and kind of double team. Again, their inability to run the football has been a dagger to the heart for them this year, LSU offensively. And to stop the run. So they can't run it and can't stop it. You got difficulties there. Hopefully, it's a get-right game against the Gators.
Right. I want to thank everybody here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Always great hospitality, good times. And the casino is a rockin'. Plus,
come to the game.
Thursday Night Football coming on here at the Game Bar and Grill. Plus, right next door to us is the sports book where you can make your wedges for this game or any of the action this weekend. Steve Geller and Mike Dettillier and Charlie Long back in studio. Appreciate everybody. Have a great night, everybody.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.